keep doing what I'm doing right now. Just keep my body, getting my body ready, being in the training room. Keep working my technique, my fundamentals, every rep. So the foundation doesn't change. My foundation stays strong and my tech and fundamentals. And keeping the same thing, same routine, even though times may differ, but just keeping on the same thing, making sure I'm repping it off the field, on the field, making sure I'm mentally tapped into the game continuously, you know what I'm saying? And maybe I could, you know, when you continuously tap into something, you might learn something new about yourself or about whatever you're tapping into, so.
That was Bills cornerback Christian Benford. And as we come back from break, we have the first touchdown of the college football season.
Yes, we do. It was a Iowa nice State. Little pass there. That was a good throw.
Dominic Overby, future Bills wide receiver.
Ha! Blow the horn.
welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Again, Christian Benford right there. That was, you know, he's the guy that he should be getting a lot more love in NFL circles.
It is so criminal. What was the ranking that had 29 guys and he wasn't on the list?
Yeah, it was the NFL executives.
Yeah.
They do their cornerback rankings with his name escapes me, the ESPN guy.
What? How was he not on that list, man? I could not believe that. He is unbelievable. And I like guys at the ends of the spectrum in terms of personality.
Mm-hmm.
I love Deion Dawkins. He's probably my favorite Bill.
Yeah.
Because he's so out there and amazing. He does so much publicly. He's funny. He's kind. I love Deion Dawkins as a Bill. He's one of my favorites ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love Christian Benford because you know nothing about Christian Benford. Milano, yep. Same thing.
Well, we saw that in Hard Knocks with Benford and White when they went to the Pittsburgh Dairy.
Yes.
And it's Trey White's running around, hey, try Trey Day Sunday, Trey Day Sunday, right. Trey Day, Trey Sunday. Day Sunday. And Benford's just like,
All right, man.
Whatever you want to do.
And right. And I love those guys that they go about their business, they do their work, they're mm-hmm. great at what they do, and they just, that is all that they're about.
The list you brought up was Jeremy Fowler when he does the NFL executives, the top 10.
Ugh.
Honorable mentions in this. No mention of Christian Benford in the top 10 or
don't
honorable
start
mentions.
Reading me names or I'm going to jump out a window.
All
right, go ahead.
One of them is Jalen Ramsey is on this list.
Dude.
Jalen Ramsey is barely on an NFL team. And that NFL team is the Miami Dolphins.
Right. Who are going to implode.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. He's on Pittsburgh now. I forgot. He got traded.
Right, he got traded.
Regardless, doesn't matter. You know, there's this list. The more I look at it, the madder I get. You have Taron Johnson's on there as an also receiving votes, which is nice.
Which is
good.
That's crazy that he's on there and
Benford's not
even
mentioned.
Benford is not.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they play, you know, it's a different position, nickel and outside corner.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, come on.
He is
underrated, and I hope that this year is his year
mm-hmm.
where he mm-hmm. is – unbelievable.
This is his first year after his big extension.
Right.
The Bills did all that stuff in the offseason where they signed the next big five, I guess.
Their new core.
Yeah.
Bean spoke about that.
It's not necessarily new, right?
He described it as such. I forget where I heard him talking about the process that they underwent when they let go of Diggs and Morse and mm-hmm. Hyde and Porter.
Okay.
And all those guys.
Yes.
That was their old core, and they had a group that they knew what they had. They trusted those players. They'd paid those players.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean made a decision, and I think a good one, that it's time to turn this over. We've got to get a new group in here. And
I think the only two pieces from that, or three pieces, I guess, would be Allen, Dawkins, and Milano.
They are the
old core.
Right. They are the pieces that are still here. And Milano, he's probably done after this year, right? Like,
well,
he's got that 1 year left.
It depends on this season, I think, right?
If we see
a Matt Milano season, I think they try to work something out and keep him around long term.
I would be surprised if they try and sign him on a new deal. I think that the way that they've operated has shown that they are shrewd and that they are ready to get out when it's time to get out.
And
I wouldn't want to be attached, I don't think, to Milano for another year after. I mean, obviously, if he looks great, that'll change how I feel about that.
Sure.
But conceptually, I think about that question, like, would you want Milano back after this season? And I think it would be very hard for him to perform well enough for me to go, give me two more years of that.
Right. Or you could just kind of do a one-year, one-by-one sort
right.
of thing.
But is he going to want that? If he plays that well,
sure,
he's right. going to want to go get 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine. Unless I wouldn't be stunned. We don't know because we don't know anything about the guy.
Because he doesn't speak.
Right.
He did speak on Hard Knocks. He
said one word, right?
Two words.
Two words. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's infinitely more than we've heard so far.
Oh, yeah.
But going back to that new core, I think that they've done a good job of identifying. They've done a smart thing procedurally in terms of it's time to move off these guys. These guys are getting old. I think we're in a window here with our quarterback, who he is, that we don't want to waste years looking for guys. And so they decided, let's move off of the old core and find a new group. And now they've signed all those guys. But you don't know if that's the right move yet because they haven't performed yet.
Right.
We haven't seen Russo on this new contract. We haven't seen Shakir on this new deal. We haven't seen Benford for 4 years be a Pro Bowl cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Once that all happens, we can confirm they made the right decision. They gave themselves all the opportunity they could. And I will be interested if they hit on all those contracts. Is there going to be one of those deals that we look back on and go, do we need Oliver at that number? Do we need Russo at that number? We don't know any of that yet, and there's no way to pass judgment on that yet. But there were bets made, and those slips will be won or lost.
Right.
And that's going to be interesting to see play out this year because this is the first year of most of those guys' deal. Like, they signed them this offseason. It was Shakir, it was Benford, it was Russo. Those were the big three. Cook. Forgetting about that whole
debacle.
Nightmarish scenario where we were talking about nothing else for 2 months. But he's another part of that. And where they're at now, you don't want to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to get burned. And we'll see. I'm excited to watch it play out. I have confidence in every one of those guys.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it'll all work out.
Well, and it goes back to the kind of, like, just talking on defense here, not the offensive signings as well, but defensively speaking, it's time for some guys to step up, right? Like, it's time for Greg Russo to show consistency. It's time for Ed Oliver to get back to what he was.
That 9-sack season that he signed the contract off of.
And a lot of that has to do with who's around him. I mean, you know, Steve in the last segment there, he brought up different guys that the Bills have brought in that haven't done anything here but have gone on to have success elsewhere or have just kind of flamed out, right? Like, you know, guys like Ed Oliver Ed Oliver's small for his position, right?
Yeah.
That was how he was looked at coming out of the draft. He's a different type of defensive lineman.
Yeah, he's a very interesting. I've always liked watching him play because of that, because he just doesn't look – it's not an archetype that's as common as I think – it's not the most common archetype for an interior defensive lineman.
But he's 6'1", 287.
He's stout, but he's not big and heavy.
Right. But that's where it's like, you know, have the Bills all these years just been looking for the right guy to pair with him?
Right.
That's the and other thing here is the missing piece. Like, who was he with the year he had all those sacks? Like, we'll have to look at that in the break because we got to take a break here in a few minutes here. But it's... if you can find the type of player that was with him when he had success, and that's what they've been looking for. When he had that 9.5 sack season 2 years ago, if these guys, TJ Sanders or Dwayne Carter, we haven't even brought him up yet, didn't do much of anything last year, Dwayne Carter. And Javon Solomon as well. He had some flashes throughout the year, 2 sacks last year, 1 against Seattle, 1 against Jacksonville. And if those guys start to kind of support other areas and free up Ed Oliver, that's kind of the goal. And same with a guy like Joey Bosa. I don't mean to just talk about the young players here, but when you're looking at where the Bills are headed next, it's heavily dependent on how these young guys do, because the past few years have been, okay, who's the big guy that's available? Von Miller. Let's go get Von Miller. And listen, we were all through the roof when they signed Von Miller.
Of course.
I know I was.
Yeah.
And it, yes, we knew that at the end of that contract, it might not look that great.
Right.
And that's where we are now. But
we've got the dead cap this year, and then we're off of it.
But
and
now,
that's fine.
Now it's, okay, Joey Bosa. He's the next big, good veteran defensive lineman that they've gone after.
Much smaller bet, but similar conceptually.
But in the same, in the same
vein.
And that's where it's fine if you're doing that every few years. If it's fine if you're going to get that veteran, but you need these other guys to start improving and start getting better, because then you won't always have to go pay a guy, you know, all this money
to come in and fix your problem
for 1 year.
Right.
We want a guy that can do it for ideally his entire
and
rookie contract.
Be a part of the core. Rousseau.
Exactly.
That's what Rousseau is.
Right.
And so, will we see that come to fruition? And just quickly, I looked back at the depth chart for that 2023 season when Oliver had those sacks. It's Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips, Daquan Jones, Tim Settle, and Puna Ford. That was the defensive line group there on interior defensive tackle.
Interesting.
That to me sounds, if I'm remembering properly, like a heavier group.
Right. And Oliver's the small guy.
And Oliver's the small guy.
And that's kind of, I remember that's the conversation that was around the team that year of like, okay, they have all these big guys now. No one's going to be able to handle all of these massive people. Then Ed Oliver can sneak through.
He's a fastball.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at it this year, you got Daquan Jones, you got Joey Bosa, you got Landon Jackson. Those three guys right there, I mean, Jackson's the small of those three guys, but those three guys
are big dudes.
And if that's the kind of rotation you're looking for, then that's great.
Right.
And Greg Rousseau as well. Sorry, forgot.
Those are outside linemen too. Like, Walker's a big, heavy guy, but he's still a pass rusher.
Yeah.
And Sanders isn't I wouldn't say he's small necessarily, right? I like what he brings. They're both – they
he's
did six, not
– 6'4", 297.
Right.
So he's a big dude.
Big dude.
Yeah.
And so they have not – brought massive sort of space fillers. Ogunjobi's a little bit of that. And I would like to see Oliver perform with the group he's got around him and use them to his advantage, because I still believe he is on the interior side that sort of gear shift for them.
Yeah, for sure. 803-0550, the number to call. We got to take another time out here. We'll be right back. This is WGR.